Well, let me say it's great to be back. I think I've been back here twice before. I noticed a number of very familiar faces, and it's good to be here with you. As you've heard, what we're thinking about this morning is how we can get better at telling other people about our faith in a way that's going to encourage them to find out more. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the program that's on Radio 4 called Just a Minute. Anybody listen to that? Just a Minute. It's a game in which the panelists are given a subject and required to speak on it for 1 minute without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And one of the reasons the show's been so popular, it's actually been on for 51 years now, is because the panelists find it extremely difficult to speak on a given subject without hesitation, deviation, or repetition. Now, as we heard in the first reading from the Apostle Peter's letter, he's writing to Christians and he says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. In other words, be prepared to give an answer as to why your Christian faith is important to you, why you come to church. Why is it important to you? So let me ask you a question. If the opportunity arose for you to talk about your faith, but you only had 1 minute in which to do it, do you think that you could do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviation? Do you think you could do that? If I asked you now to turn to the person you're sitting next to and explain why your faith is important to you, do you think you could do it in a minute? It's not that easy, is it? Anyway, we'll come on to that in a moment. The reality is that you may be someone who finds it easy to speak about your faith. But I think many, many people, and some of us here may be in this category, we don't find it very easy. Maybe that we're concerned that we might say something that'll put the other person off, or we don't know what to say. We don't know how to answer the questions that they might have, or that if we talk about our Christian faith, they'll consider us odd and not want to know us any longer. Could well be that we've known the person for years and we've made up our mind, well, they just never would be interested. They simply wouldn't be interested. Anyway, I've tried before and they weren't interested. There's no point in trying again. And yet Jesus says, go and make disciples of all people. He wants us. He wants you and me to give other people the opportunity to find out about Jesus. And one of the most effective ways of doing this is to tell your faith story, why it is that Jesus is important to you and the difference that it makes in your life. And we had a lovely example of that, didn't we? Some of you probably are very, very familiar with the story of the man born blind. The Pharisees asked the man, you know, when Jesus has healed him, well, how did this happen for you? And he replies, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, he told me to wash, and so I did, and then I could see. And then the Pharisees start criticizing Jesus, saying that he's a sinner, firing questions at the man. And so this man tells his story again. He doesn't have all the answers to their questions. He simply gives the best answer he can give when you are asked a question and you don't know the answer. And he simply says, well, I don't know, but what I do know is that I used to be blind, but now I can see. And the Pharisees, of course, they could argue, they could dispute as much as they liked, but the man's story speaks for itself, and it was a powerful witness. Now, your faith story may not be as dramatic as that man who was healed from his blindness, but like his, your story, dramatic or not, can be an encouragement for someone else to find out more. That's why it's worth spending time thinking through how best you can tell your story without hesitation, without repetition, or without deviation. You willing to give that a try? Do I have any nods? Yes? Well, we'll come on to that in just a moment. Before we think about that, I think there's some very important things to remember about sharing our faith, helping somebody else to engage with Jesus. Things to remember, for example, you know, someone coming to faith, hearing their story because of what you say, is going to depend on you cooperating with God. God isn't expecting you to do this on your own. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Now, one of the things I've learned is that God never asks you to do something without equipping you to do it. And if you're a Christian, God's Holy Spirit is living within you, the very same Holy Spirit that lived within Jesus and enabled him to do the things that he did. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit enables us to do is to be an effective witness. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses." He's confident that you can do this. You don't have to be someone that you're not. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. Through the Holy Spirit working in you, through your personality, in the situation that you find yourself, you can be effective as a witness. In fact, the most effective witness to your friends is you. Why? Because they like you, they respect you, and they'll listen to you if we do it in the right way. So that's the first point. As you cooperate with God's Holy Spirit, he'll make you an effective witness. Second thing to remember is that sharing your faith will come out of your own relationship with God. Peter says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord." And the closer our relationship is, the more we're able to pray, the more we're able to read the Bible, the more we're able to spend time with other Christians encouraging each other, the easier it becomes to talk about your faith. Third thing to remember about sharing your faith is that a person's coming to faith is a matter between them and God. Incidentally, I hope you've been given a copy of some notes that cover these points, because I'm going to be going through them at quite a speed. And do have a look at that. Do take that away with you, because that'll be a reminder for you. But as I say, a third point to remember about sharing your faith is that a person's coming to faith is a matter between them and God. The Apostle Paul, who was a very powerful witness, when he was nearing the end of his life, he wrote a letter to the Christians in Colossae, and he says this: "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." In other words, Paul had discovered that you can't force someone to believe something unless they're ready to believe it. Paul says, "Please pray for open doors in people's minds and hearts." Jesus says, "No one comes to faith in me unless they're first drawn by the activity of God's Spirit." In other words, unless God's Spirit goes before us, softens a person's heart, prepares them to receive the message, we might as well be talking to a closed door. That's why putting pressure on someone doesn't work. You know, 6 months ago, my younger sister Juliet died, and she'd had a particularly difficult life, including a failed marriage and a lot of health difficulties. And for many, many years, I and other members of our family and friends have been praying for Juliet that God would soften her heart to receive the peace and the strength and the comfort that God has made possible in Jesus. Well, 2 months before she died, she was taken into the hospital in Chichester, and she rang me to ask me if I'd go and visit her and share Holy Communion with her. Well, I don't think we'd really ever had a proper conversation about faith together. She certainly had never asked me to share Holy Communion with her. So I went and saw her, and we had a lovely time together, and we shared Holy Communion together. And then she said afterwards, she said, "Merrick, do you think God really loves me?" And I was able to read to her some of the Bible verses that show very clearly that despite our faults and failings, God does love us, and that he loved her, and how he demonstrated that love by dying on the cross. I was able to read her some of the verses you'll be familiar with, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, so that you and I would not perish but have eternal life. Or Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting life. Or Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, 8 weeks later, at 10 o'clock on Saturday evening, she rang me to say goodbye. The doctors had said she only had a few hours to live. And she wanted me again to read those verses about God's love. And I was able to do that. 3 hours later, she died. And next morning, her daughter Anna rang me to say that her mum had died and that during the past 8 weeks, she and her sisters and her brother had seen in their mum, despite her ill health, a peace and a contentment and a joy that they'd never seen before. And our family had a very clear sense that God had answered our prayers. So let me ask you a question. Are you regularly praying for people that you know, your friends, members of your family, that you'd love to have them at least investigate Jesus Christ and perhaps get to the stage where they would encounter him? Are you praying for them? This is such an important thing. It really is. And to help us with this, I think we've got some of these cards, haven't we, Christoph? And I filled mine in here with, I've actually put 7 names down here of people that every morning I'm praying, Lord, give me an opportunity and give me the courage to witness to them in a way that's helpful for them. Let me encourage you to fill out that card when you take one at the end of the service. Fourth thing to remember about sharing your faith is that a person's coming to faith is a process. You know, a man called Cliff Connectley put it very helpfully. He said, a person's coming to Christ is like a chain with many links. There's the first link, the middle link, and the last link. There are many influences and conversations that precede a person's decision to come to Christ. I know the joy of being the first link at times, a middle link usually, and occasionally a last link. God has not called me only to be the last link. God has called me to be faithful and to love all persons. A person's journey to faith is a process that involves many, many influences, many conversations, many, many years in some cases, but each of us can play a part. Each of us can be a link in that chain. You know, rather like a gardener sowing seeds, we can sow the seeds that someone else will water, someone else will nurture until the moment is right and the seeds blossom into flower. Every one of us here can be a link in a person coming to faith. And you have a wonderful opportunity coming up with your Rethink Week here. I was looking at some of the events, and they're just the sort of things I wish someone 35 years had invited me to. So do have a look at that and invite someone to that. And remember, whether or not they say yes or no, is between them and God. All you and I are asked to do is to actually invite them. And very often if we say, well, look, I'm going to this, why not you come along as my guest? I'd love to take you with me. Very often that can be a helpful way of doing that. Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. In other words, the way in which we behave and glorify your Father in heaven. It's been very well said that the Christian faith is caught as much as taught. It's what they see in you and me that really has the impact. You know, do our actions actually match what we say we believe? Are we forgiving people? Are we generous people? Are we compassionate people? And so on. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. And as we saw with the man born blind, well, one of the best ways of doing this is to explain the difference that Christ makes in your life. And on the notes here, you'll see suggestions as to how that you might be able to do that. So let me encourage you, do please take some time, put aside perhaps half an hour to think about that. And I think you'll never, ever regret it. I've shared my 100-word faith story many, 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 many times over the years. In fact, I had an opportunity to do it just 2 weeks ago. I was at a friend's 80th birthday party, and a man told me that his daughter was a Christian, but he himself was an engineer and a scientist, and he needed more proof before he could believe. He actually described himself as midway between an atheist and an agnostic, which I thought was quite an interesting definition. He said, Merrick, what do you think? And so I had an opportunity in a minute just to explain my faith story. This is what I said. As a teenager, I was introduced to church in a way that persuaded me that it wasn't something that I needed. On leaving school, I thought about fulfillment and that peace of mind would come of having a good career and a happy family. And by my mid-30s, despite a good job and a happy marriage, something was missing. There was an underlying sense of anxiety, a lack of peace, and the nagging thought kept going through my mind, there must be more to life than this. And then a friend explained to me that God had created us to be in relationship with Him, and that Jesus had made that possible by His death and resurrection. 35 years ago, I came to accept that, and since then, that anxiety has been replaced with a deep sense of joy and purpose and peace of mind. Then I said to this man, I wonder if you can identify with any of that. He said, yes, I can. And so I said, well, would you be interested in finding out more? And he said, yes. I said, well, why don't you put some time aside to read John's gospel? And he said, yes, well, I will do that. I thought, well, you know, he's probably just being polite. You know, I'll never hear any more from him. Just happened 2 days later, I got this email. Dear Merrick, it was very good to meet you at Joyce's 80th party. I am reading John's Gospel from my New English Bible. It'll be quite a long job as I've not read it before, and already I've found many things which are not factual or provable, but I will definitely continue and complete it. I hope to be able to be in contact with you in the future. Best regards, John. Well, I haven't heard from him since. That was about 10 days ago I got that email. But I'm praying for him that as he makes his way through John's gospel, he will begin to see that this really is something that's worth looking into. One final thing to remember about sharing our faith is that before we talk about our own faith, we need to make certain that we find out about them. I've learned over the years that people really aren't willing to hear until they've first been heard. You know, one of the problems, if you've ever had someone try to convert you, is that they don't express an interest in where you're coming from. They keep trying to tell you where they're coming from, what their experience is, where most of us aren't really listening until we're persuaded that they're genuinely interested in us. But as we show genuine interest and we ask questions and we listen carefully, we begin to discover what makes them tick and what they consider important and what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy and what they regret and what makes them angry, what anxieties, what disappointments they have, where they feel under pressure, their hopes and their dreams. And as you listen, you discover their priorities and their needs. And somewhere in amongst it all, if you're listening carefully, you'll begin to get a sense, a connecting point between their story and how Jesus Christ can meet their particular needs. And in the weeks and months and days and years ahead, you're going to encounter people with needs that only Jesus Christ can meet. Because to the worried, He offers hope. To the disillusioned, He offers meaning and purpose. To those struggling with guilt, Jesus provides forgiveness. To those who've experienced emotional hurt, Jesus provides healing. To those caught in addictions, Jesus offers freedom. To the weak and vulnerable, He offers strength. To the weary, He offers rest for the soul. To the grieving, He offers comfort. To the lonely, He offers friendship and community. We go on and on and on. Jesus is able to meet every single need that any human being has. And so let's be witnesses to Jesus. There is no greater gift than you can give to someone than to introduce them to Jesus. Why don't we pray? Father God, we thank you for the person that first pointed us towards Jesus. the person who encouraged us to look again. And we thank you that wherever we may be on our faith journey, we have a story to tell. And so we pray that we would put time aside to think about the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, and that you'd give us opportunities to tell others about that. But first, that we would listen to them. We'd find out what is important to them. Help us with that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.